Good morning. On Trinity Sunday, we explore two readings from which the theology has developed. The first reading comes from the wisdom writing of King Solomon, viewing the Holy Spirit of wisdom as the first creation gift. Reading from Proverbs chapter 8, verses 1 to 4 and 22 to 31. Does not wisdom call, and does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights beside the way, at the crossroads she takes her stand. Beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portals she cries out. To you, O people, I call, and my cry is to all that live. The Lord created me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of long ago. Ages ago, I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. When he had not yet made earth and fields, or the world's first bits of soil, when he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the foundations of the deep, when he assigned the sea its limit, so that waters might not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him like a master worker, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always. Rejoicing in his inhabited world and delighting in the human race. The second reading comes from John's Gospel when he introduces the Holy Spirit as an enduring gift of God's presence. Reading from John chapter 14, verses 18 to 27. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live, you also live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God.
happy graduation. These are the kind of words that have been shouted for the last little while as university and high school and college grads are celebrating their achievements. It's time for celebration. It's time also for evaluation. It's a time that we kind of set the course, chart the course for the future that lies ahead. We think about the future for our graduates here. We think about the future for all of the graduates who have really developed their God-given talents that the world so dearly, dearly needs. I was doing some shopping for the gift bags earlier this week, and I found myself on the greeting card aisle. And I was looking for a suitable card that would be given to each of the grads on behalf of the church. And almost every card that I found had some form of this sentiment, speaking about the journey that lies ahead. We think about their journey. We think about the journey that lies ahead, the path that they will follow. Now, when we think back, the journey began a long, long time ago. Long before tricycles. We think about the journey beginning with crawling hands and knees along the floor. And then it moves to creeping, where when those little ones start to stand up a little bit with the strength of their legs, and they use furniture and walls to kind of creep along inch by inch. Eventually, the journey goes to full walking, standing on their 2 feet and walking along. And eventually, the journey continues to include locomotion, tricycles and bicycles, and the like. We talked a bit about the tricycle during our children's time together, and those children continue to teach us so much wisdom, don't they? Tricycle is great for the beginner that is learning how to move, to locomote themselves. Eventually, they move from crawling and creeping and walking, and they move towards various forms of locomotion. And the tricycle is generally a safe form of transportation. You can use your first pumps, whether they're hard on the right or the left, and generally we don't topple over. We generally propel ourselves a little further forward. To ride on a machine are those first glimpses of freedom. Those first glimpses of freedom when we get out there on the open road, well, hopefully just the open sidewalk. Tricycle rider moves eventually, perhaps to the bicycle, sometimes to the unicycle, maybe their first car, sometimes, sorry parents, even to a motorcycle. Journey continues on. But before we jump too far ahead about the various ways that we go on our journey, I'd like to really just stick with the tricycle this morning. It seems to be relatively simple, but really it's not, and it has a lot to talk about our faith. It offers tremendous stability, as the children reminded us this morning, tremendous stability with those three wheels. And also it teaches us an awful lot about our theology, but our understanding of the nature of God in our lives. You see, there's fundamental concepts that give us deeper understandings into the ways of God, just like the tricycle kind of breaks things down with the three wheels. You know, for me, one of the things that I find deeply meaning in my ministry is when I meet with families and we plan a celebration of life, a funeral for a beloved memory of a family member. And when we sit down with family and friends and we plan that ceremony, we inevitably talk about the various different parts that made that life so rich and meaningful and what allowed it to come together as a whole. Inevitably, one of the things that we talk about when we plan that, talk about how that person was a member, family in the community. We talk about how she perhaps was a daughter, or a wife, or a mother, or a grandmother, and the ways that she played a role in her family system. But the person is more than just that member of a family. We're also reminded as we talk more about that, we're reminded that that person also had a calling in life. they followed a vocation. They followed the way they used their God-given talents and lived those out in the course of their days. But even more than those two, there's more. We also might talk about the spirituality of the person, how they drew strength from their faith, how they followed their call, how they lived their faith out in the course of their life. You see, what I'm getting at is that we need sometimes to break things down, every once in a while, to break things down into their fundamental parts to really have a deeper understanding of the whole. It's a lot like the tricycle right here. It's like the tricycle that needs each of the three wheels in order for good balance to be maintained. The rider would topple over at her young age with just two of them, but when three are given, allows a strength and a stability to be maintained. Each fundamental component is a significant part into the window of one's overall life. In fact, each fundamental component is an essential part in terms of understanding that great whole. And I think, friends, this is the reason that the church each year, this time of the year, sets aside one Sunday, calling it Trinity Sunday. The church sets aside this day to put things all together that we've been building through the year. And think about the ways that we have been building, just for a moment, if we can. We start all the way back at the beginning of the church year, preparing in the season of Advent for the coming of God's light. Late November, usually. We take those weeks, we light candles, and we yearn for the coming of God's light into the world, into our lives. And then the season of Christmas, we are embraced by the gift, by the birth of that light, coming in a vulnerable little child, coming to each and every one of us. And then in the season of Epiphany, we move and we consider how that light is made manifest to the entire world. Moving from Epiphany, we move into the season of Lent, a time where we're embraced by the humanity of this one who brought light. A time where we're embraced by our humanity, considering temptations and testing, considering how we truly connect with this one who has come for each and every one of us. And then in the gift of Easter, we are confronted, we embrace by the power of God's grace, God's forgiveness, even over the darkness and destruction of the world. And then our world takes the longest season of the church year, season of Easter, to consider the power of resurrection alive in our world, alive in our lives today. And then last Sunday, come to the end in Pentecost, the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit where the Spirit breathes upon each and every one of us, breathing life into you and I, breathing spiritual gifts, hope and healing, of teaching and forgiveness. The variety is absolutely amazing. In Pentecost, we are gifted and blessed by the Holy Spirit's gifts that we might be the living body of Christ alive in the world, day and always. And then this Sunday, Trinity Sunday, we put all of those pieces, we put them all together. We consider how Creator, how Mother, Father, how that is a part of our faith. We consider how, secondly, Christ, Son of God, Messiah, part of our faith. We consider, thirdly, how Holy Spirit, Holy Presence, Holy Ghost, is a part of our faith. We put those three parts together. We're allowed to be embraced, to embrace that whole that we call God. This morning, we are embraced by a tricycle, a Trinitarian theology, if you will, the way in which our faith has grown and developed. probably helpful, as I introduced at the beginning of this morning, to remember that it took our church 325 years to develop this. It was the Council of Nicaea. Remember the Nicene Creed? It's the same council that adopted the theology of the Trinity. So it was three centuries after Jesus' life. We're into the fourth century of the church. Prior to that, the church, my sense of reading history, the church was really grasping at seeking a deeper understanding of God's presence. They were understanding God in the nature, certainly, of creator, of father in the language of those days. They saw God's presence revealed, certainly, in the humanity, the divinity of Jesus. But then when the Holy Spirit was adopted into that third dimension, a third dimension of understanding God, they moved to a deeper and a stronger way of knowing. That church council of Nicaea, they gained a legacy that the church continues on to this day. It's a wonderful theologian that I so appreciated studying with at the Vancouver School of Theology. Sally McFagus, her name, in her book, The Body of God, she talks about it this way. She says, God is not a distant being, but being itself, the one in whom we move and live and have our being. And not just our so-called spiritual being, but our bodily being as well. I think what Dr. McFaig is getting at is that this nature of God, this presence of God, is as close to us as the very DNA that inhabits our body. God is as close to each and every one of us as the breath that we take in. And conversely, this God will be as distant as we choose to make God as well. I wonder what that might mean for us to understand our body as being so deeply connected with the divine creation as inhabiting us. What I love about Trinitarian theology, about tricycle theology, is it allows us in such a complex way to balance on those three wheels, to balance that we don't fall over and get lost. Each of these three components are fundamental in order for our relationship with the divine God to flourish. How do we understand God? This entirety of God, unknowable in our humanity, yet as close to us as each breath we draw in. Trinity allows us to find a balancing point, not to make God too distant and far away, not to make God too complex, but it allows us to balance this holy mystery of God and to truly know God with our very being. I think to try and take God all in at once without this kind of a way, this kind of a theology, would be akin to drinking from a fire hose, trying to take it all in at once, which is not possible. Trinitarian theology allows us for this broader vision. Take things in gently and carefully and prayerfully. Find a deeper understanding, a deeper relationship with God. When we look at this threefold perspective, we see a depth, we see a wonder of God that is for you and for me in our journey. Now, on the surface, a tricycle Trinitarian theology might seem rather simple. But I think when we consider the vastness of this one that we worship, the vastness of God being beyond our comprehension, really allows us to truly understand that God is deeply a part of us as well. His presence can be felt in each and every breath that we take, but whose vastness is beyond as well. Think about the rider riding off in her tricycle each day, that smile on her face, pumping and pumping with each stroke with her foot, battling the forces of gravity. And as she's doing that, we know that God is calling to her. God is calling to her, saying, I am the God of creation who loved you and called you into being. Also saying, you know me, For you have known my son in his ways of love, his ways of healing, his ways of forgiveness. And in the way of the Holy Spirit, I live in you. My spirit is deeply a part of your breath, all of who your being is. As the Gospel of John puts it, I am alive in you and you in me. And so with that assurance, our little writer continues on knowing the immensity, the depth, and the grace of God in her life. May we too know this grace, this wonder of God that is for you and for me. Amen.